Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Joseph Jasinski, who's a professor of political science at the University of Miami, whose books include The People's News, Media, Politics, and the Demands of Capitalism, and American Conspiracy Theories, co-authored with Joseph Parent, which examines why people believe in conspiracy theories. Welcome to Background Briefing, Joseph Jasinski.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And in your part of the world, of course, we've seen the extraordinary manifestation of these conspiracy theories ending up on YouTube, where one of these young students who've been so eloquent and so extraordinary have captured the nation's attention and may well have an impact on the otherwise stale battle over gun control. They've been referred to as crisis actors. And this has been a conspiracy that the Alex Jones has been pushing heavily. And I guess the paradox here is if you take these videos down, then the Alex Joneses of the world then capitalize on it as martyrs for free speech. So what's your recommendation given that kind of blowback?
Well, the first thing is that if individuals are being harassed online, then we need to have rules in place, whether it's from government or from the social media platforms, to curtail that. So these kids should not be getting death threats, whether online or on the telephone or via mail. That's just unacceptable behavior. In terms of people having alternative viewpoints on these very important events, I don't think we should be curtailing that. And it gets us into very dangerous territory if we start doing that. Because are we going to say, you know, hey, let's ban all conspiracy theory videos? You know, because if you ban the ones that I believe in, then I guess I can ban the ones you believe in. And if we're all banning them, then we're going to be taking away a public good. Right? Because conspiracy theories can sometimes turn out to be true, and sometimes, even if they're not true, they can still help us unearth information that we didn't have before. And in that sense, they can provide a public good. So when we get to the point where we're saying, okay, we're going to ban Alex Jones writ large, or we're going to ban all of these videos, that takes us to a very dangerous place. And like you mentioned, it could embolden people like Alex Jones and his followers. It could also make people skeptical who maybe weren't following Alex Jones before and have been thinking, why are they trying to cover this up? You know, what do they have to hide that they need to shut down Alex Jones?
Well, I think one of the – yesterday there was, of course, testimony with the head of the NSA and Cyber Command, and where he said that the U.S. is essentially doing nothing about Russian interference in the 2016 elections, and therefore they could do the same in 2018. But as far as the what came out in these recent indictments by the special counsel, Robert Mueller, they're mostly about influencing the U.S. via social media. And at the end of the day, if this – country wants to defend itself against that kind of mendacity, it basically has to educate its people not to be so damn stupid and gullible. So how do you get around that problem, you know?
I think that Russian meddling in our election is bad, but there are a couple things that can be true at the same time. Russia did try to meddle, and at the same time, I don't think that Russia had much of an effect. And furthermore, you know, I don't think there's no evidence that I've seen that suggests that Trump coordinated with Russia to do any of this. Because if he did coordinate with them, it would be the dumbest, you know, exchange ever, because all he really got was a bunch of bots out of it, which, you know, he could have done himself without violating a whole bunch of election laws.
Right.
So.
But if Russia was
hacking into voting machines, I would be very upset, and you know, we'd have major things to do in this country about it. But if our argument is, well, you know, they tricked us by putting fake people on Twitter, well, I mean, that sounds, you know, it doesn't make us sound that bright, first of all. But second of all, I don't think it had the effect that some people are saying it did. Most people, when they're on social media and engage with news, they tend to engage with stuff that they already agree with.
Right.
You know, they pick their friends who they already agree with. They pick who they follow who they already agree with. They pick the sources of news, you know, so that they get things that they already agree with. So the people who are hearing, you know, the crazy Hillary conspiracy stuff from Russian bots, well, they already believe that stuff anyway.
Right.
They didn't need Russian bots to tell it to them. So I think the effect here was probably very minimal. I would prefer it didn't happen. But there are probably bigger problems in our election system to deal with other than Twitter bots.
And again, I'm speaking with Joseph Jasinski. He's a professor of political science at the University of Miami, whose books include The People's News, Media, Politics, and the Demands of Capitalism, and American Conspiracy Theories, co-authored with Joseph Parents, which examines why people believe in conspiracy theories. But I was talking about it in terms of sort of as a disarmament issue, if you know, if you will, and but it does apply across the board. I mean, why do people believe Alex Jones? Why do they, with such passion, the 9/11 truthers? Why did so many people believe Donald Trump's idea that the birther canard that he put out, that Obama was some interloper from Kenya without a birth certificate? That's the question that I would have in terms of us as a people in our diminished ability to conduct critical thinking. And I'm assuming that the problem might well be traced to our education system. You're an educator. How do you see it? Where do you think the source is of this problem?
Well, very educated people can believe very bad ideas, too. So it's not like education would solve the problem entirely. But you are generally correct. What we find is that people who have more education tend to have less of a conspiratorial worldview, right? So, you know, what the best studies are telling us is that, you know, that there is a positive effect where education can fight this. And other countries, like France, are trying to improve some of their critical thinking facets of their education system to deal with this, because they have very high rates of conspiratorial belief over there too, particularly around the terrorist attacks that they've had in the last couple of years, and those that surround immigration in Europe. So their government is actively working to do something on it. I don't know if, you know, because our education system is so decentralized, I don't know if there's any active attempts in our country to do that right now. There probably should be. And I think a very critical aspect would be to help people decipher, you know, what are good sources of news and what are bad sources of news. And, you know, how can we understand our own opinions and our own news gathering so that we're not just engaging in motivated reasoning and picking the news that reinforces what we already think rather than constantly challenging ourselves?
But you pointed out something, though, that is serious and I think can be dealt with, at least should be dealt with, Joseph Jasinski, and that is that these young kids in Florida at the high school who survived the shooting, who've been labeled as crisis actors by Alex Jones on InfoWars, and it's created a whole kind of following online, they've been getting death threats. And then of course, earlier back in 58 people were killed in October in the Mandalay Bay shooting in Las Vegas, and a taxi driver in Las Vegas, Corey Langdon, she shot some video while taking people to hospital. That video apparently was used by a conspiracy theorist to indicate that the whole shooting was an inside government job meant to have justification to take our guns away, which is exactly the same hideous conspiracy theory that Alex Jones put forward after Sandy Hook, when those poor kids got killed there in the kindergarten, and the parents in terrible grief in Sandy Hook were getting death threats from followers of Alex Jones's conspiracy theory that, again, it was a fake job by the government, a false flag, I think they called it, to take away your guns. So there's real damage and pain being done by this insanity.
Absolutely, and we should not tolerate that. I have talked to at least one of the Sandy Hook parents, and they have detailed to me the things that they have gone through with people who have harassed them and attacked them. And people who do that should go to jail, and I think some already have been convicted, and I think at least one person's gone to jail for their behavior. I know a university professor has lost their job because of their involvement in this conspiracy theory. One thing I would say to anyone who thinks that these conspiracy theories are true, that the kids are actors, or that nobody died, or that the parents are faking grieving for a dead child, consider for a moment that you might be wrong. All right, just for a moment, think you might be wrong. If that's the case, then you know that if you're harassing the kids or the families, you're doing a terrible, terrible thing to somebody who is grieving right now. So if you want to continue on with your conspiracy theory, and you have every right to do so, focus your protest on our big political institutions. Those are designed to handle protests. That's where you should be protesting, but you should never go after individuals.
And, of course, the this famous pizza parlor that Hillary Clinton was supposed to be running a child prostitution ring out of in Georgetown, that had a real life consequence because a guy showed up with an assault rifle and shot the place up. Mercifully, nobody was killed, but there is another example that these things have consequences. What is, though, the mechanism here, do you think, in terms of people believing stuff in a religious fervor? I mean, the zealotry with these 9/11 truthers, because they've been coming after me for years. And, you know, the idea that somehow George W. Bush and Dick Cheney were these evil geniuses who got 19 Saudis or 15 of the 19 Saudis to fly these planes into these buildings in order to rescue their presidency is just so obscene and so absurd. But people believe it with tremendous passion. So is it to do with our complex environment that we live in, that with information and particularly the internet where there's no real standards, sorting the wheat from the chaff, that people just sort of cling on to stuff? It's almost a religious thing where it gives you a framework in this otherwise chaotic world where we're all adrift in?
I would warn people not to blame the internet. I mean, conspiracy theories have been believed since before the United States united. I mean, we had Salem witch trials. If you read our Declaration of Independence, I mean, the first couple of paragraphs are the greatest political writing, I would say, in the history of our planet. But then after that is a bunch of kooky conspiracy stuff about the king, most of which was not true in any way. After that, you have fears of Freemasons and Illuminati. You know, last century we had, you know, two Red Scares. And then we have 9/11, birther stuff, you know. So this is nothing new. It has little to do with the internet. I mean, the internet facilitates it, but so does, you know, any dominant communication technology that we're using at the time. This is a fault of people. You know, and you use the right word there, religious fervor. I mean, the reason we have the term religious fervor is because we know that people have been fervent about ideas like religion. And it's not just religion. People get fervent about all sorts of stuff, and conspiracy theories are one of them, where sometimes, and it's not just because of the belief in conspiracy theory, but if they also have delusional thinking, if you mix that in, some conspiracy worldview with delusions, all of a sudden the person's living in an alternative reality. And I talk to these people, and you cannot dissuade them. I've talked to 9/11 truthers who are particularly prickly with their views. I've talked to pizzagators who sent me pictures of alleged child molestation that they thought was going on, paintings of it. I've talked to people who believe that lizard people rule the planet. And you've got people still who think that the Jews control everything.
Right.
So it's you know, these people out there, they don't sit down and say, hey, what's something wrong that I can go and believe today?
Right.
They believe this stuff because they think it's true. not because they just want to be contrarian and not just because they want to be wrong. They want to believe it because they think it's true.
Well, let's pick up this conversation again, because, as I say, I'm always being attacked for this, you know, trying to stand up for in the, in our era of fake news, for reality and for the principles of journalism, and it sometimes feels like a lost battle. So let's stay in touch. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Joseph Jasinski, who's a professor of political science at the University of Miami. His books include The People's News, Media, Politics, and the Demands of Capitalism, and American Conspiracy Theories, co-authored with Joseph Parent, which examines why people believe in conspiracy theories. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can contact me and scroll down the right-hand side and sign up for iTunes podcast. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared by half.